Ephesians chapter 2. Why is it with human beings that it's always after the fact? It takes 2, 7.0 or 1 or 6.9 or 8 or whatever earthquakes for us to now have earthquake preparedness. I got news for you. We need rapture preparedness, because after the rapture, I got news for you, there ain't going to be no preparedness. Be it the rapture or the rupture of your heart, we need to be prepared. Where would you go? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? It's very simple. You get two choices, smoking or non-smoking. And it's your choice. And I think that's extremely important, especially in the times in which we live, because one of the signs of the end times, Jesus said, is earthquakes in diverse places. Ridgecrest, who would ever thought Ridgecrest? When we were ministering in Vermont, we had an earthquake in Vermont. I mean, where can you go on this planet and not be subjected to earthquakes? And so I think we need to be prepared. And that's what this is all about here this morning. We're going to see two terms. One is afar off, which is where we were before Jesus Christ, or whether we are near to Him. Extremely important this morning, especially in the time in which we live. Are you afar off from Jesus Christ, or are you near to Him? And if you're afar off, we can tell you how to get real close this morning. And that's what it's all about. Bless you. You know, we have apps for everything today, don't we? There's some apps I won't even put on my phone. Who needs to know if I'm having a double-double with grilled onions and In-N-Out? You know. I don't need people to know everywhere I am. I can tell you exactly where I am all the time. I'm about my Father's business. If you really want to know, have the best app that was ever made, it's the Word of God given by the because God knows exactly where we are all the time. David said, where can you go from His presence? You can run, but you can't hide. I think it's important that this app... and that we apply this app, because this incredible book called the Bible shows us how we can be as close as we possibly can to Jesus Christ. That's why when an earthquake comes or a tornado or a hurricane, whatever comes, you know what? We don't have to sweat the small stuff, because Jesus Christ, we've seen, how many times have we seen in this chapter so far, or in this book of Ephesians, the term in Him, in Him, in Him. If you're in Him, you don't have to sweat the small stuff. Because even if you die, to be absent from this body is to be present with like that, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody measured it one time, 11/100ths of a second. Twinkling of an eye. And so are you ready? Are you prepared? Rapture preparedness or rupture preparedness? Okay, chapter 2, verses 11 to 22 here this morning, brought near by the blood. We'll read it through and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us here this morning. Therefore, remember, verse 11, that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. To me, that's one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, and thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would speak to us, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have, that we have done the work on the soil of our hearts, getting rid of the hardness and the weeds and the rocks, that we would have good, rich soil to receive your word, which is seed, that we might bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So we thank you, Lord, this morning for everybody here. Open Bibles and open hearts. We pray that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in verse 11, again this morning, in our first verse, Paul begins with the word therefore, meaning, what is it there for? We talked about that last week. That's kind of what I do every time I see that word. When I see the word therefore, I ask myself, okay, what is it there for? I'm glad you asked. It points back to the beginning of our chapter in verses 1 to 10, where Paul reminds us of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And that's what Ephesians is all about. The first three chapters, we find what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Eight times in chapter 1, we find in him, in him, in him. We find in the beloved, in Christ Jesus. And so that's why I mentioned early on this morning that we need to know that we are in. You're either in or you're out. You're either near or you're afar. And that's the most important question you will ever have to answer in your life here on earth, is where are you? Are you near to him? You know, we can sit in church and our hearts can be far from him. There's churches filled with people all over the world, all over America today, who are just going through the religious motions. And their hearts are not filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But they think by their works and all that they're doing the right thing. Jesus has made us alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, it says. Imagine that. We don't realize or recognize at times that we were dead in our sin. But Christ has made us alive. We who once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, we saw last week, Satan. We were servants of Satan. We all conducted ourselves, Paul told us last week, in the lusts of the flesh. And by nature, we were children of wrath. Look at people today. It's all about our senses, gratifying the flesh. If it feels good, do it. That's the philosophy of the world today. But God, because of his great mercy, but God, we saw last week, because of his great love, with which he loved us. He was the initiator. He was wooing us by his Spirit, with which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. He made us alive together in Christ. Isn't it great to be alive? We have never been so alive as when we are born again with the Holy Spirit. He made us alive together with Christ. We are in him and he is in us. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, making intercession for you and I right now because we are in him. For by grace we have been saved. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. We've been saved through grace. G-R-A-C-E, God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's how we're saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, Paul wrote last week, in Christ Jesus. And it gets better, that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. I can't even comprehend that. Because of the world in which we live, even as believers, we're subjected to pain and grief and sorrow and sin and all of these things. But one day it's going to be all over with. One day we shall see him face to face. And that's why we have the therefore. That's what the therefore is there for this morning in verse 1. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So therefore, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of what God has done through His Son, that we've been blessed, haven't we? In verse 11, Paul exhorts them to remember that prior to their conversion, prior to their second birth, they were Gentiles in the flesh. And you often hear me say, don't live in your past, but don't forget where you came from, where we were when He rescued us. We were Gentiles in the flesh. They were outcasts as far as the Jews were concerned. The Gentiles were despised by the Jews. That's why the disciples were surprised when Jesus took a shortcut through Samaria and stopped at a well with this woman at the well. Because most religious Jews would not step foot in Samaria. And if they did, when they left and got to the borderline of Israel, they would kick the dust off their feet so that it would not become defiled or unclean. Many Jews, religious Jews, would pray a prayer like this. I thank you, God, that I'm not a dog, a Gentile, or a woman. Heavy stuff. Times have changed. You come a long ways, ladies. They were despised by the Jews, who referred to them as dogs, as uncircumcised, meaning that the Gentiles did not have the surgical sign in the flesh that marked Israel as God's covenant people. It was actually a picture, a foreshadow of the cutting away of the flesh of the human heart. And actually, to call someone uncircumcised was an ethnic slur, similar to the names people use today, despising one's race, creed, or color. This was a put-down to the Gentiles. King David, you remember the story as a boy when he confronted Goliath, called him an uncircumcised Philistine, that he would defy the army of the living God. On the other hand, the Jews took great pride in calling themselves the circumcision, even to this day. I deal with the Jewish people upstairs. I have a great relationship with them. But there's this Jew-Gentile thing again. You know, I'm just nothing but a Gentile, but yet I was sharing with our men yesterday at men's prayer. Every time I go in to get our mail, I deliver the mail to them. I share with them their book. That's so crazy that me, Joe Gentile, would be sharing with them out of their book. They have no clue, unfortunately, and I'm not putting them down. Our prayer every day in the office is that they would come to know Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as their Savior. But the Jews took great pride in calling themselves the circumcision, God's chosen children, God's chosen people, who are above all of the other nations of the earth, they believe. But here in verse 11, Paul seems to take exception to their boasting by saying that it was made in the flesh by hands, meaning it was merely a physical thing. The same thing happens with Gentiles today in the church. We talked about that last week. Some people think they're saved by being baptized. Some people think they're saved by partaking of communion. And you can lay out a list of things that people think that they're saved by. But there's only one way that we can be saved. You must be born again. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. Baptism follows conversion, and so does communion. It follows conversion. And it's a picture of what Jesus Christ has done for us. What was an outward sign for many had no inward reality of true faith in the Lord. And again, we find that today. People are doing outward things as if they're believers, but there's no inward change. We need a heart transplant from the great physician who is also the great cardiologist. In Romans 2:28, Paul writes, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is the outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart." The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Paul goes on to say, in the spirit, not in the letter of the law, whose praise is not from men, but from God. And so this was the greatest racial and religious difference the world had ever known. This conflict that went on between Jew and Gentile. The Jews, God's chosen people. Gentiles, it says here in verse 12, we were aliens, foreigners. Look what Paul writes. He says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Isn't it funny? Every time I pick up the newspaper, they're trying to prove there's aliens out there. You don't have to look very far. Aliens all around us. If you don't know Christ, you're an alien. Twilight Zone, you know? You young people can Google that one. At the Twilight Zone. Me, we're out there in the Twilight Zone, especially my generation. Oh, my. I won't go there this morning. But we were definitely aliens. Timothy Leary and all those knuckleheads. Foreigners. You know, we're talking about walls in America to keep out illegals and all that stuff. But you know what? Do you know that heaven has walls and gates? You know, Jesus told a parable about a man that got through the gate somehow, showed up with no robe. Heaven has walls. There's only one way you're going to get in. You can't fake it. You can't sneak in. You can't climb the wall. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Two categories we're going to talk about it here in a moment, saints or ain'ts. You're either a saint or an ain't. No in between. In verse 12, Paul reminds them, notice, number one, you were. And this is a good thing. I need to be reminded of what I used to be, and I hope you do as well. And again, don't live in your past. Don't let the enemy beat you up. But don't forget what Jesus Christ rescued you from. And sometimes we can become like the world out there as believers. Oh, we got entitlements now. Just don't forget where you came from, what he pulled you up out of. We were Gentiles in the flesh, unclean. We were without Christ, aliens, meaning we don't belong. We were strangers. Better than that, we were just strange, period. To be a stranger means you have no rights or citizenship. And we had no rights or citizenship to heaven because we were strangers and strange. We had no hope. Nationally as well as individually, the Gentiles had no hope. But in God's incredible plan, he chose to send his son into this world to save both Jew and Gentile. To graft us into the vine. And sadder than yet, in verse 12, is we were without God in the world. And it's getting worse every day. I never thought I'd see in America, where on our currency it says one nation under God, such a growth of haters of God, like Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. People hate God today. And I got news for you. They're going to hate you too because he lives in you. If they're coming against you because of your life and because of godliness and holiness, they're not coming against you. They're coming against he who is in you. And because we're shining as lights, we're all luminous. We're all lights in this dark world. And guess what? It hurts their eyes when you show up without God in the world. Man, could one sink any lower? I was a bottom fish, I admit it. A lot of Calvary Chapel people are bottom fish, eating, what do they call them, crustaceans. But to God, they're valuable. Look at when you go out for seafood at a restaurant, the most expensive ones are the crustaceans, lobster and crab and, you know. But Jesus Christ goes right to the bottom, doesn't he? Saves us bottom fish. I couldn't sink any lower because I was at the bottom. Another but, I love this. There's some wonderful places in Scripture where we find that word. Notice what it says. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus. Man, isn't it amazing? How all of a sudden, man, we're steeped in darkness and a depth of despair and all, and we're far from God and all these things, strangers, aliens, without Christ. And all of a sudden, look what we find. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have become brought near by being a good person. Is that what it says? You have been brought near by giving your... It says? Absolutely not. There's only one way that you can be brought near, and it's right here. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Whew. Don't you love that but word? Last week we saw but God. This morning we find but now in Christ Jesus. Isn't it amazing how it's the hinge? It's the turning point from darkness and despair and discouragement and depravity. And all of a sudden, it's like the light goes on. But now, in Christ Jesus, man, what an abrupt transition we find here from what you were and what I was. And everybody qualifies. Every single person qualifies for these things. We were in the flesh, meaning we conducted ourselves in the fleshly man, the sinful man and woman, uncircumcision. We were without Christ, alien strangers, no hope without the world. But now, when we repent of our sins, when they repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they were accepted in the beloved by his shed blood. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve when they sinned. The blood of the innocent had to be shed on behalf of the guilty. And the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the perfect man, God's Son, shed his blood for you and for me so that we could be saved. But yet people still try to get in other ways. What an offense that is to God, that he gave you his very, 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 very best Son to be nailed to a tree on your behalf, and we think we can get in some other way. Whew. He paid way too much, didn't he? They were afar off. We were afar off, but now brought near. How far is afar off? You ever think, and this week I was thinking, how far was afar off? I was out there. Matter of fact, my generation had a term, far out. We didn't realize how far out we were. But you know the crazy thing? No matter how far out you are, you're not out of God's grip. He can reach you there. And it's up to you and it's up to me to respond. Far out, man. That's pretty scary now. I was out there pretty far. How far out is afar off? I do not know. But I do know this, that I am near now because of what Jesus did, because of his shed blood. I don't know how far out I was or you were, but we do know how near we are now. We are as near to God as Jesus Christ. How close is Jesus to his Father? The Bible tells us that he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father also. But he who does not have the Son does not have the Father. Far out. You've heard my testimony. I used to pray the Lord's Prayer. But yet I couldn't get past the first verse because he was not my Father in heaven. I was not his child. I didn't have his Son. And there's many people that pray that prayer repetitiously that don't know him as Abba, Daddy, Father. And there's no greater blessing than to know him as your Daddy. And that's why when the earth shakes, whatever happens in this world, it's like Dad's got it. Why? Because we are in the hand of his Son. And Jesus said, all that the Father has given me, I shall not lose one. No one shall pluck you out of my hand. So we are as near to God as Jesus Christ. Wow. And you know what? As a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, you don't use the word like maybe or hopefully I'm there. You need to be assured. You need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're in. You're in. It's not a maybe. How sad it is for these people to think, well, it's a maybe or maybe hopefully. Hopefully. Does that mean if you're good enough? Well, I got news for you. You will never, ever, 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 ever be good enough. Jesus Christ paid the price in full, no balance due. And it's only through him that we shall see God. We're as near to God as him. Wow. In Christ Jesus. How are we in? Paul tells us very clearly that we are in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, and we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So if people ask, how am I saved? By the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. That was the cost. The price has been paid. Because of sin, we were afar off, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are now near. And in order for a person to be brought near to God, the sin, all of that sin, has to be cleansed and removed and put away. You see, in the Old Testament, when they would bring the animals to the temple for the temple sacrifice, it was called a kofar. The shed blood was just a covering for the sins of the people. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross on Mount Calvary and shed his blood for you and I, our sins are now completely gone and cast as far as the east is from the west in the deepest part of the sea, and God remembers them no more. Isn't that amazing? That's what I remind myself of, that he remembers them no more when the enemy tries to put these YouTube videos of my past in my brain. You ever had that happen? You got to tell me, he's trying to rip me off because of my past. But you know what? When he reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. And my future is better than his future, guaranteed. And so we need to be cleansed. We need the sin to be removed. And it's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, that can cleanse us from all sin. When we, Paul said 2 weeks ago in the book of Ephesians, by grace through faith, are saved by putting our faith and trust in him, we go from being afar to being brought near by his blood. Isn't it great to be brought near? There's no better place in all of the universe to be than near to him. But yet oftentimes we sing, nearer, my God, to thee. But yet our minds are elsewhere. Our hearts are elsewhere. And it's a constant reminder that we need to have that blessed assurance that we are near to him and he is in us and we are in him. There's a lot of insecure, skittish sheep out there that are insecure. And they think they can lose their salvation and they think they're just a timeshare. That ain't the way it is, man. Paul also says in Ephesians that we are sealed for the day of redemption when we put our faith and trust in him. And so in doing so, when we put our faith and trust him, the wall of separation is broken down. It's demolished. That had separated not only the Gentile, but the Jew. Look at verse 14. For he himself is our peace. That's another 60s word. Peace, brother. You know, we didn't have peace. This isn't peace. The peace sign. I still see that today. Peace. That's not peace. Peace is when you have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you now have peace with God. And so here we see, for he himself is our peace, shalom. And it's not based upon circumstances. The world can be coming to pieces and we can still have peace. Our peace is not based upon how we feel. We have the peace that surpasses all understanding, meaning you can't even put a finger on it, man. It's like, wow. You ever been in a situation that's just so devastating and you're just blown away because you got the peace of God through it? It's amazing. For he himself is our peace. But we look for peace in other things. It says right here, he himself is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself, in Jesus, one new man and woman from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you. There's that term again, who were afar off, aliens, and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It's the cross of Christ alone that brings unity. It's the cross, his cross, that puts to death the enmity. Enmity means hostility, animosity, dissension, conflict, discord, and contention. That's a heavy word. Do you know that the Bible says before our conversion that we were at enmity with God? Meaning these things separated us from God. We were hostile, animosity, dissension, conflict, discord, contention. All of those things were part of our lives. You wonder why America's coming apart at the seams today. They're at enmity with God. Not just the president. They're at enmity with one another. I've never seen such hatred towards one another in this nation. We're hostile. We act like animals. There's conflict, discord, and yet we call ourselves one nation under God? Scary stuff. How long, O Lord? How long is he going to stand for this? How long can we abort a million babies a year? How long can we teach our children in school sexual perversion? How long will God allow us to tell his children there's more than two genders, male and female? That makes me angry. But yet when they exhume a body they found dead or something, it's either a male or a female. Where's the other 68 genders that they come up with? Sin is in the heart. Perversion's in the heart. God made us male and female. I'll get off of this one. I'm going to get in trouble here this morning. When we were Gentiles in the flesh and afar from God, we were at enmity with God. That's scary. That is scary. It is in the cross of Christ that we have peace with God and that we are now reconciled to God. It is the cross that brings reconciliation. And it is the cross that brings us unity. Why? Because it was not only Christ's cross, it's your cross to this day. You know what Jesus says? You are to deny yourself daily. Pick up your cross and follow him. Death to self, death to hostility, animosity, dissension, conflict, prejudice, discord, contention, all this stuff. Death to that stuff if we pick up our cross daily. And that's what's wrong with America today. We're a crossless society. We went seeker-friendly about 30, 35 years ago. No cross, no blood. Let's just all be happy. Let's be entertained by hipster pastors and rock and roll stars. I believe in rock and roll, but not rock and roll stars. My feet are on the rock and my name is on the roll. And it's because of the cross of Jesus Christ that saved me from damnation and hell. Now that's the gospel, my friend. It's a cross of Christ that gives us peace with God. There's no other way. We're reconciled to God. And the cross should be the focus of our unity. The wall is down. Isn't that great? The wall's down. We're united. We're family. We're his church. And that's the crazy thing about it. Isn't it wonderful? I mean, you go to visit another church and you walk in, it's like family. You never met these people before, but you have this unity. It's through the Holy Spirit. I'm closer to you guys than the black family that don't know Christ. It's amazing that we have unity. We're family. We're going to spend eternity in heaven, Jew and Gentile. And through him, it says, Jesus, in his death on the cross, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place. Oops, wrong verse, sorry. Back up. 18. Through him. And my cool stuff I have in purple. And it just so happens that, you know, 22 is in purple and 18 is purple. I like the wrong verse. But this is what the Lord says, or through Paul. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. You see what we have there in that verse? The Trinity. There's a lot of people that question the Trinity. Him, Jesus, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. We have the Trinity right there. The wall is down. We now, through prayer, have access to the throne room of heaven. We now can call him Abba Father. We now can call him Dad. And here, of course, again, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, guess what pops up again? The word therefore. What's it there for? Glad you asked. Because of these things, right? Notice, because of these things that we just saw, because Christ is our peace, because there's no wall of separation, because there's no enmity any longer, because there's a new man, new woman, one body, reconciled to God, having access to the Father, therefore, now, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Isn't that great? Ha! What a breath of fresh air. We're talking strangers and foreigners from God and from heaven. No longer strangers and foreigners. Man, we should be jumping up and shouting here this morning. You're no longer a stranger and a foreigner. Family. Our new forwarding address, the kingdom of heaven. Streets paved with gold. No more death, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Not one hospital, not one graveyard. Not one drug dealer, not one murderer, not one pedophile. Absolute perfection forever because we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven, no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Just ponder that verse, man. Look at what you are now. Look what God has made you. Fellow citizens. Saints. I know, sometimes I think, that just doesn't fit me. But that's what God sees through the blood of His Son. That's how God looks at you, through the blood of His Son. Saints. It means set apart one. It means we are now set apart to God because we are fellow citizens and we are of the household of God. Man, what a blessing. Notice 19 to 21. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. We're all under construction, guys, for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Because of these things, therefore, we now have the incredible blessings and privileges of being citizens of heaven. No longer strangers, foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints. And with that comes incredible privileges throughout all eternity. And many of them we can't even comprehend in these human fleshly bodies. I love when it says we're no longer, meaning we will never again be strangers and foreigners because of what Christ has done. No longer aliens, no longer dogs, no longer uncircumcised, no longer outsiders, no longer afar off and far out. We've changed. And it's an inside job. That's not an outward religious thing. The people that Jesus Christ came down the hardest on the Bible were the outward religious people. You brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. Whoa, pretty heavy. He says, you travel all over the world to make disciples of yourselves, and you make twice the sons of hell than you are. That's what Jesus thinks of religion. Why? Because religion's a stumbling block. It's a fake. It's a phony. It's a knockoff. And Jesus wants us to knock it off. It's got to be real. It's an inside job. It's supernatural. It can only come through being born again, through the blood of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the cross. We will never, ever, ever again be strangers and foreigners. Wow. We're now fellow citizens with the saints because we are now and will forever be first-class citizens. I know we don't feel like it at times. I don't feel like a first-class American citizen. I don't. I love my country. I love the flag. I love the privileges that come with it, but I'm not a first-class citizen. If you've ever seen me drive. We're members of the household of God. Think about that. Members of the household of God. You know what this has done, man? All of a sudden, the jitters from the earthquakes are gone. That's another thing you'll never find in heaven, an earthquake. We're members of the household of God, adopted into God's divine family. Again, verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You know me, I often joke about us Gentiles meeting in the basement of a Jewish temple. But where do you find the cornerstone? We're in the bottom right-hand side of the temple. We're the cornerstone. Amazing. And this church isn't filled with Gentiles. We have a lot of Jewish people that fellowship here. Completed Jews, Messianic Jews. It's the cornerstone of this very building. What a picture. We prayed to move to another building, but God won't let us move. He wants us here. You see, we get the Bible and the gospel and the Messiah from Israel, and we're just returning the favor. We owe a lot to the Jewish people. I love the Jews. They're not perfect, neither are we. And we owe a lot to them. And I think it's important that we recognize that we are now, the wall's broken down, the enmity's been taken away, we are now the household of God, both Jew and Gentile. So not only did God create, verses 20 and 21, a new body, he's also creating a new building built on the message of the apostles and the prophets, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. Do you think we need good news in America today? Like never before. I am so tired of fake news. You know, there are times I hear things, you know, that the church is just as guilty of fake news. Ha! Rumors, gossip, this pastor, this church, this thing, that thing. You know what? I can't even listen to that garbage anymore because I don't know the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And we need to be very, very careful when we pass the gossip. We're not to do it at all. The Bible warns about it. We need to pray for fellow believers. We need to pray for our nation, for the unbelievers, make believers, and for this country. We're in big trouble. Can you sense it? I have such a burden in my heart for America because of where we are today. My Bible tells me that in the last days there will be a falling away. There will be apostasia is the term. That means the falling away has to come from the church. It's not from the world. The world's fallen away already. But within the church, there's a falling away, and I'll tell you why. It's because we've gotten away from the Word of God. Again, we've turned into hipster pastors, disco ball, light show. And that stuff's got to go. As a matter of fact, if you're here Wednesday night, Amos warned about worship that was fleshly and carnal. We need to be very careful how we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worship is not for you. Worship is not for me. Worship is for Him and Him alone. And we need to worship Him. We need to be pointed to the throne room of grace. It was great because the worship leader that night made it very clear, if you're going to clap, don't clap for me. That's discernment. That's important today. If we give any adoration, it's got to be to Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the chief cornerstone. The whole building is being built on Him, fitted together. The holy temple of the Lord. Notice again in verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Are we together? Are we united? Every church? We've got more competition than we do complimenting one another. Why do we have competition against other churches? I hate it and God hates it. God hates division. Paul went through that 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I got news for you. I'm of Jesus Christ and this is His church, period. And I think it's about time we woke up because we're turning into a house divided. I encourage people, go to a church where you're fed, where you're loved, where the Spirit's working, where the Word is being taught. That's the bottom line. But too many people are choosing a church on fun and games for the kids. This fellowship, we teach the Word of God upstairs. How do I know? I know the teachers. Oh, yeah, they have fun every once in a while, but right now they're getting the Word taught just like yours. As a matter of fact, the teaching's probably deeper up there. I think I'm going to go up there and get fed, you know? It's all about this building that God is putting together. We're family, a beautiful temple made of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. It will be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit to live and to fellowship with His people forever. And just think about this as we close. We have a lot to be thankful for. Number one, this chapter began with what we were. We can give thanks. Thank you, God, that I'm not what I used to be. Maybe we're not what we should be, but we're certainly not what we were used to be, what we used to be, if we're in Christ Jesus. We're all under construction. We're all at different levels. We're all on our way home. He began the work. He's going to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. But the good news is, yeah, it begins with what we were, but it ends with what we are and what we will be. Praise the Lord. I was so excited to be able to share this section of Scripture this morning because I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that the end result is what we're going to be. What we are right now is in Him, but He's going to complete the work one day, and there's going to be absolutely perfection. What we were, dead. We were dead. Matter of fact, one of the groups we listened to, the Grateful Dead. Imagine a group called the Grateful Dead. Well, that was us, and the people call themselves deadheads. And guess what? They hit the nail right on the head. We were depraved. We thought we were cool. Be careful with that word cool, because it's not hot or cold, it's lukewarm. We were depraved, we were disobedient, we were doomed. We were without Christ, we were far off. But God didn't leave us there. And even Paul, and what he's sharing in his epistle, in his letter, he says, we now are in Christ. We right now are made near by His blood. We right now are new men and new women. We right now are at peace with God. We right now are without enmity. No more hostility, no more animosity, no more dissension, conflict, discord. All gone. Why? Because of the cross. All of those things were nailed to the cross, and we need to leave them there. Because of the cross. I'll close with this. We have access to the Father. Abba, Father, Daddy. Because of the cross, we can call Him Father. Because of the cross, we are His saints, Paul told us this morning. Because of the cross, we're fellow citizens in heaven. Because of the cross, we are His household of faith. Because of the cross, we're being built together for eternal fellowship with Him. So you tell me, is the cross important? Is the blood important? Absolutely. So I would hope you're encouraged this morning of your position in Him. Are you in Him? Do you know that you're in Him? And that's my last question. Do you know that you're in Him? You're either afar off or you're in Him. And I'm not here to judge you. Why? Because this is the GPS. God's positioning system. And this shows us where we are. Are you near Him or are you far off? And guess what? If you're far off, you are in the right place this morning. Because Jesus Christ wants to bring you near. He loves you. He's got the nail prints to prove it. He lovingly and willingly died on the cross so that you could be brought near. And if you would like to be brought near to Jesus Christ and God the Father this morning, I'd like you just to stand quickly as we close and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. Anyone as we close. Do you know you're in? Do you know? Do you know? How many earthquakes are going to take to wake you up? It's okay to be earthquake prepared, but are you rapture prepared? Because it could happen any moment. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. As we come to your table, Lord, may we examine our hearts with the cup and the bread. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a religious thing. It's a relational thing. Because of your body that was broken for us and your precious blood that was shed for us, we are now new creations in Christ. So as the ushers come forward this morning, just take a moment in the quietness of your heart, even as Paul told the Corinthians, to examine your heart, to make sure that you're not partaking of communion in an unworthy manner. All we have to do, if you've blown it, messed up, is just in your heart confess it to the Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's just take a moment to pray, and we'll pass out the bread and the cup.